agree, or do I think everybody needs to? Everybody's tired. If I was going to give this message a title, it would be In the Fullness of Time. In fact, those words are some of the most favorite words that I see in Scripture, in the fullness of time. God never moves too soon, nor does He move too late. It's always just right. The Bible says, in the fullness of time. And I want for us to consider how these words are used in Scripture. First of all, notice before we begin what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. And Paul writes, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do." And it's comforting to me to know that God always works in the fullness of times. And for example, in Scripture, we see, as it were, a sudden revival. God, oftentimes, though He moves in the fullness of time, there are times that God moves suddenly. I mean, it's just like that. And, for example, we see a sudden revival. Wouldn't it be exciting if God brought about revival in your life and in my life? I mean, on the heels of having just had a Bible conference, would it be exciting if God suddenly brought about revival in our lives so that we would rejoice in Him? We would rejoice in what He has done, in what He is doing, in what He is going to do. Listen to revival as recorded in the Word of God in 2 Chronicles in chapter 29 and verse 36. "And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly." Yeah. A revival centered around a renewed and a more active attention given to God and the things of God. Oh, it is an awakened concern for one's spiritual condition. All of us have been affected, as it were, by the things that are in the world. All of us have been affected. It's like having a new car, and in time that paint that was shiny suddenly being exposed to the elements and the sun, it begins to be faded and it begins to become more dulling. And it must be rubbed out. And in my day, you know, when I was younger, boy, I would break out that rubbing compound and I would rub it out and take off that dull. And then the old paint begin to shine again. That's what we need because of the circumstances of life, because of everything that you and I as believers have been exposed to. Sometimes God, now He always moves in the fullness of time, but sometimes He moves suddenly. And only God can bring about true revival in the lives of His people. Listen, but there was also a sudden revival, and it, I said revival, arrival, and it is centered around the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 2 and verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying." It was suddenly. One moment it was not so, but the very next moment it was so. "And suddenly there was an angel," and suddenly. Well, everything that angel had to say was centered around the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our text is centered around the shepherds, as it were, which were made known to the fact that Jesus Christ was coming soon. And you know, it's that way when He's coming again. He will come suddenly. You know, we can expect Him, and I expect Him in my lifetime. I do not know when He's coming. No one knows. All we know is that He will come suddenly. One moment, it's not so, but the very next moment, like the snap of a thumb or of a finger, He will be here. And then the Bible speaks of a sudden conversion. And I speak of Saul of Tarsus, and when he was converted suddenly on the road to Damascus. Listen to the book of Acts in chapter 9 and verse 3. "And as he journeyed," and he is Paul, Saul of Tarsus, is on the road to Damascus. "And as he journeyed," he came near Damascus. I mean, he had been on that road for no telling how long. He didn't jump in a car or a bus or fly an airplane. He had to walk. "And while on the road, as he came near Damascus," and suddenly, one moment it was not so, but the very next moment it was so, "and suddenly shined round about him a light from heaven." One moment he was not saved, and the very next moment the Lord saved that man. And only God can do that. "And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And we all know the story of Saul. We all know how he stood there by Stephen, and he held the clothing, the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death. And we all know how he breathed that fire and everything for the Lord's church, and he was on a mission from the high priest, and he was going to Damascus to arrest folk just like you, to take them back to Jerusalem in chains, in handcuffs, if you will. Yeah. Because they were believers in Jesus Christ. Oh, how he hated. And only God can change the life of a sinner. Only God can. Things that Saul before hated, he now loved. Things that Saul was bent on destroying, but now he desired to build it up. And I'm convinced that there was no man ever like Saul of Tarsus that was ever the witness that Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, was for the Lord Jesus Christ. No man ever like him. No man. And this happened suddenly. It happened in the fullness of time. It happened so unexpectedly. Wouldn't it be exciting? Wouldn't it be wonderful if God suddenly touched the life of a sinner in this place, one who before was not born again? God moved just like that. Wouldn't that be exciting? I think it would be. Don't you? If God touched a life and suddenly that life put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is and what He did at Calvary on behalf of the sinner, wouldn't it be exciting. Oh, Saul of Tarsus was not expecting to be saved. He wasn't on that road saying, oh boy, it's just a matter of time and God's going to save me. Oh boy. No, he was happy with the way things were. And it just might be that there's one sitting here saying, oh, God's not going to save me. No, that's not even on your mind. But just all of a sudden, God moved. And, oh, Saul of Tarsus, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? It happened all of a sudden. But suddenly there was a light from heaven, and I am convinced that was the Shekinah glory of God. It was certainly God's glory for Moses, who had been in the very presence of God upon that mountain for 40 days. And he came down and his face shone. In fact, he had to wear a veil. Oh, I'm convinced that was the Shekinah glory of God. And did not Paul write to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, God knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly when to do it. Our God always knows, because He's God, and God does anything He wants to do. Yeah. God must make the difference. Oh, listen, I'm so thankful that God made a difference in my life. It might not have been the difference that people would like to see, but He's made a difference in my life. If you are born again today, God has made a difference in your life, and it may not have been the difference that people want to see, but it's been a difference nonetheless. And those that are not yet born again, only God can make a difference. And it may not be the difference that I want to see or the difference that anybody else wants to see, but it's the difference, it will be the difference that God has made. Oh, in our text, Saul of Tarsus was converted suddenly, unexpectedly. I was converted suddenly, unexpectedly. You were converted suddenly and unexpectedly. And those that God will convert, it'll be a sudden conversion, and it will be an unexpected conversion. Only God can do that. And then the Bible speaks about a sudden release. It happened just like that. One moment they were in prison, they were, as it were, incarcerated, and the very next moment they had been released. Listen to the book of Acts in chapter 16 and verse 25. And at midnight, oh, I know it's not midnight yet, but it was midnight then, a time when everybody ought to be asleep. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, a time when people are generally sleeping. Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners that were with them, and the prisoners heard them. They were praising God. They were praising. They were singing out loud. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was an earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, do you get that? Suddenly there was an earthquake. Immediately, all the doors were open. Just like that. Oh, I know it was in the fullness of time. But suddenly, unexpectedly, all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. It was midnight. Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises, and suddenly, unexpectedly, they weren't thinking, oh boy, in two more minutes there's going to be an earthquake. No, it was suddenly and it was unexpectedly. I remember one evening, wasn't dark yet, and I remember it was while we were eating our evening meal, supper in our house. And I remember, because we lived in a trailer park and we lived in a mobile home, and this was during our Navy days. And I remember that as we were eating, I felt the trailer house shaking. I remember that so well. And I wondered, what in the world is going on? And I went outside, and as I went outside, everybody and their brother that live in that little trailer park, they went outside too. They couldn't imagine what's going on. They felt the same shaking that we felt. And then I realized, uh-oh, we're in California. We're having an earthquake. And then I discovered that there was an earthquake at Paso Robles, about 70 miles away. Yeah. It happened suddenly. No warning. It happened suddenly. In our text, while they were praying, while Paul and Silas were praying, and while they were singing praises unto our God, suddenly, unexpectedly, there was an earthquake, and it shook the prison. I can't imagine how that prison must have shaken. There were times I was aboard ship. I thought I was in prison. I mean, it's as though you're locked up and you sure can't go anywhere except straight down. And I couldn't swim, and I wasn't about to go straight down. I felt like I was in prison many times. Yeah. But keep in mind, Paul and Silas were in prison, and suddenly there was an earthquake, and immediately the doors were opened, and their bands, they were chained, as it were. Yeah. They were loosed. And now, our text speaks of persecution. I mean, they were in prison because they had dared declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks didn't like that in those days. They locked them up. People don't like it in our days. And I fear that one day they're going to lock us up if we dare proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, I have never been locked up in prison. I have been to a few visiting, and you talk about cold, and you talk about empty, and you talk about when you hear doors slam shut behind you and they're locked. Oh, I can't imagine living in prison. I've been to a few. Yeah. I say a few to two. Yeah. One of them in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You talk about cold. You talk about an empty feeling. Oh, and Paul and Silas, they were there. Oh, listen. Suddenly, there was an earthquake. Suddenly, they had their chains. They were no longer bound. Oh, listen. I fear that there's coming a time when you and I may well experience something like that. But God, He always moves in the fullness of time. But there are times when He moves suddenly, unexpectedly. But think about a blessing. Oh, suddenly God can bless. Suddenly. And our text is centered around the getting of the Spirit of God in the book of Acts in chapter 2 and verse 2. And I know there's a lot of things that are involved here. There's a lot of different things that we could say here. But we're going to confine it only unto the word suddenly. And in the book of Acts in chapter 2 and verse 2, and remember that this is on the day of Pentecost. Pentecostus. Yeah, the Greek word for 50. And suddenly, one moment it was not true, and the very next moment it was so. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And in the book of Acts, or in John's gospel account rather, in chapter 3, how Jesus says that that's how the Spirit is. It's like a rushing wind. Yeah, we can't see the wind, but all we see the results of it. And suddenly there came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And this took place 10 days after the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. He was raised from the dead. He was with the disciples some 40 days, showing them mighty things. 10 days later, after He had ascended into the heaven, after He had returned to the Father from whence He had come, and did He not say, "It's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, I cannot send the Spirit"? And now, 10 days later, after He ascended into heaven, there is a sound of a mighty rushing wind, a sound, as it were, that came down from heaven, and the Spirit came, and the sound filled the entire house. Listen to the book of Acts in chapter 1, verse 3. "To whom He showed Himself alive after His passion." Christ showed Himself alive after all that He had done at Calvary. His death, His burial, His resurrection. "By many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." Oh, He had the coming of the Spirit in mind. But the disciples, being Jews, they had something else in mind. He was thinking of spiritual truths. They were thinking of worldly things. And then verse 9. "When He had spoken these things, while they beheld He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. 10 days later, the apostles were gathered together, and they were sitting, it says here, in the room or in the house. And there was a sound suddenly. One moment it was not so, the next moment it was so. And all these things took place on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Oh, listen. And then the scripture speaks of a sudden return. And it speaks centered around the Lord's second coming. And we've already touched on this. But listen to the Word of God recorded in Mark chapter 13 and verse 35. Watch ye therefore. The Bible is addressed. It is written to believers. It is. Mark is writing to believers. Watch ye therefore. Only believers, watch. Watch ye therefore. For ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, during the evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Watch ye therefore. You don't know when he is coming, when the master is coming. Who is the master? Is it not Jesus Christ? Lest coming he suddenly find you asleep. Watch! It doesn't mean sell your belongings and go up on the highest tree or the highest mountain and watch. No. As you go about your daily routine, watch. Yeah, we can be busy doing things and we can be watchful. Watch. For you know not when the master of the house cometh. Watch. For we do not know when Jesus Christ is coming. As premillennialists, and I am a premillennialist, you are premillennialist. We believe that the next great event in the lives of God's people is the rapture of the saints, the resurrection of the dead. When God takes His people out of this world, and then there shall be great tribulation, which this world has never seen, or shall there ever be such again. Daniel in chapter 9 talks about that. And at the end of the 7 years of tribulation upon this earth, Jacob's trouble, the Old Testament refers to the same period of time. But at the end of those 7 years, Christ will come again. We're talking about that on Wednesday nights. He is coming again. He has given us signs. His Word tells us all about it. Watch! Because He will come suddenly. And I personally am convinced that the days of Noah and the days of Lot, they tell us about when He's coming. And if His coming is soon, how much nearer is the rapture of the saints? It's going to happen suddenly. One moment it will not be so. The next moment it's going to happen. But it will happen in the fullness of time. God always knows what He is doing. I remember standing right here in this aisle, and I popped off, and I shouldn't have done it, but I popped off. And Frank James was here, and Frank James was going to Australia, and the thought just popped in my mind. I says, "Brother Frank, you're not going to be in Australia long." But I said it without thinking. And he took about two steps and he stopped. He turned around and then he grinned. He said, "Yeah, I know, because Jesus is coming." I said, "You're exactly right. You're not going to be there long, because the Lord is coming, and He's coming." Brother Dan, I'm not convinced you're going to be in the Thailand long, because Christ is coming soon. And those that have died in Christ will be risen from the grave. And those that are alive in that day will be changed. Just like old Saul and Silas. That earthquake, it came suddenly. Revival comes suddenly. The blessing of the Holy Spirit coming, it came suddenly. Oh, listen. Yeah. But as believers, we need to watch, because a rapture of the saints can take place at any moment. It can. And it will. But it will come in the fullness of time. And Paul in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, and he ends, and I believe it's verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." My wife and I talk about that. Oh, we talk about it a lot. And I think about Him coming for the likes of me. And oh, it brings me great comfort. Beloved, God is sovereign. God knows everything. Everything that God does is always right. It's always good. Everything God does, it's always in the fullness of the time. Not too soon, not too late, but always. He comes in the fullness of time. But He comes suddenly, just like that, unexpectedly. Life might seem to go on, and it does, until God moves suddenly. Yeah, He moves suddenly. One moment, it's like all the rest, but the very next moment when God moves, just that quick, things are never the same. It's true in my life. It's true in the life of those of you who believe. It's so in the lives of those that will believe. We are never the same. God sees to that. Would you stand? Would you bow your heads? And thank You once again for everything that You've done in contributing to this year's Bible Conference. Father, oh, how we thank You. Father,